One of those famous phrases, when I say famous or infamous, of the Gospels is this phrase, "What is truth?" Who said that? Pilate. And he said it to whom? He said it to Jesus. What did you say, the truth? He said it to the truth. Yes. Truth is a fascinating study in the Scriptures. And the Apostle John, in his writings, speaks of truth many times. In the Gospel of John, you find it at least 20 times, the word. In his epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you see the word truth at least 17 times. Tonight, I'd like us to direct our attention to the second epistle of John. 2nd John. I've been praying through and asking God for some direction as to our time, and he's led me to this small little epistle, only 13 verses long. But I believe it has some profound truth for us, as all of the Word of God does. 2 John, we're going to read the entire book tonight. How often can you do that? We'll read the entire book, gain a context of what's going on, and then just discuss the first couple of verses tonight. Just by way of background and to give you an introduction to this book, it is attributed to the Apostle John as far as authorship. It was probably written sometime in 80 or 90 A.D. During this time, Emperor Domitian would have been on the throne. He was known to be a persecutor of Christians. Of course, we know that John was put on the island of Patmos. From there, he wrote what book? Revelation. Yes, he was there on exile. The recipients of this letter have been often debated. As you will see, there is no clear explanation as to who it is written. I personally believe it is written to a church, possibly in Asia, a church that had the Apostle John had influence over, had ministered to, and he is now writing them this letter, and he is writing it in such a way that if it gets into the wrong hands, no one will really know to whom it was to or from whom it was written. And during those days, as in many countries today, being careful in who you tell and what you tell is sometimes means whether you live or whether you die. And the early church learned quickly how to grow in Christ, and yet the government was stoutly against them. So with that in mind, we're going to read this. I want you to take note of truth in this letter, the concept of truth. And we're going to seek to answer the question of what is truth and how it applies according to the context here. All right, so follow along, 2 John. Verse 1, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. All right, as we have read that, I'm sure that truth jumped out at you. A couple other concepts probably jumped out. There's truth. There's the concept of love. And as we look at this, and as I spent time in this letter, you begin to understand why truth is such a focus in John's writings. It is because during the days of John and when he was writing towards the end of that first century, the early church had already experienced some schisms, some divisions, and there were differing groups of people that held differing opinions and thoughts concerning Jesus Christ. And as you can see here, the Apostle John is speaking out against those who speak not the truth. Now, of course, it is no different today. In fact, it's probably much worse. For today, we have many across this world that under the guise of Christianity, even carrying Bibles, they speak what they say is the truth, but what does not jive with the truth, Jesus Christ, as we know him to be in the Scriptures. This is valuable for us because we need to understand what is or who is the truth, so that as we walk today, as we are approached by those false teachers and deceivers, we will be able to quickly discern who they are, what they are saying, and whether they are true or false. Truth, as we know in John chapter 14, verse 6, is Jesus Christ, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, looking at our context here in 2 John, we see the elder, and I'm just going to go down these first four verses, make some comments concerning what they mean, and then we'll wrap up with looking at this concept of truth. The elder unto the elect lady. The elder, being, I believe, John himself, the elder is a word presbyteros, one who is in a position of respect, possibly because of his age or possibly because of his experience. Obviously, in this case, being the Apostle John, certainly one who has walked with Christ, one who has led many to Christ and used by God greatly. The elder unto the elect lady, elect, chosen, chosen lady and her children. Again, we do not know exactly who they are. Some do believe it's written to a specific lady and her family. Very well could be, but we do not know. But nevertheless, he continues on, whom I love in the truth. Notice all the aspects of truth here. Whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, this is the third time now, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Notice the qualities of this truth. Grace be with you, mercy and peace. Now, this is the common greeting from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Here it is again, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly. Notice the concept of joy, and you'll see that in these last two epistles of John. Concept of joy. He's rejoicing here greatly that I found of your children, you elect lady, you chosen lady, walking in what? Truth. As we have received a commandment from the Father. Now, it is hard to ignore this concept of truth here, isn't it? In just these first four verses, this appears five times. Now, since we've read the entire book, we understand that he speaks out against false teachers, against those who are declaring a doctrine that is not of Jesus Christ. And so we can understand here that truth is of great value to the church. I mean, it is imperative that the church get this, that the church can hold on to this truth, that they know it, that they can embrace it, articulate it, that they can spot it. The Apostle John here does not give a dissertation on the errors, but rather one of the truth. And this is just a common knowledge thing that if we want to tell the difference between what is real and what is fake, you study what is real. What is the standard? You know the standard. And when you know the standard, your knowledge then will illuminate what is wrong. So now let's look at this concept of truth. The Pilate, as he was interrogating the Lord Jesus, he asked the Lord Jesus, and he asked him this question: Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered and said, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. So that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. All right, so as we think and talk about this concept of truth, we understand that it is rooted and founded deeply in Jesus Christ. As I sought to define truth, I came up with this definition. I'm sure it can be improved upon, but this is my best effort at this point. Truth is the absolute character and quality of God that is declared by His Word and exemplified through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is completely free from error, for it is of God. It is beyond mere human invention, for it originates in God. So as we talk about truth, I want us to look at this letter and seek to apply some of these things. We see here that truth is the sphere in which, or under the umbrella under which all Christians ought to live. All right, so in other words, we as Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, we ought to be living under this umbrella or this sphere of truth. It is to be our protector. It is to be our guide. Look at our text here. Whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Notice verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Truth is something that should be almost like the clothes that we wear, the air that we breathe. It goes with us everywhere we go. We carry it with us. It is a part of our identification, our reputation, if you will. For in a very real sense, the Apostle John here not only states that these Christians ought to live in the sphere of truth, but they ought to be known at, or labeled as people who walk in the truth. In other words, we ought to have this label or reputation that this is one who lives in the truth. Now, in my mind, as I contemplate and think on this concept of truth, in one aspect, it's kind of a simple thing, and I say, okay, truth is, it's the things of God. I embrace that, I believe that, and I live that. All right, that's great. But on the other, on the flip side, we understand, because truth is mentioned so often in the scriptures, there is incredible depth and power in the concept of truth. What does Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, the truth has great power. It is a liberating force in the life of a person that trusts in the truth. So maybe you're totally confused, because we're talking about a concept and a person, and both are known as truth. Well, that is because God's Word and Jesus Christ both share the name truth and word. And so as we, as John is speaking to these folks who are living in a world of deceivers, in a world where people were coming to their church and seeking an audience and seeking to share what they know, they needed to be discerning. Are these people who love in the truth? Are these people who I have known in the truth? And by the way, that concept of knowing is experiencing. Knowing by experience. Jesus, when he spoke out against false prophets, he said, "You shall know them by their fruit." You will see when someone is not walking according to the truth, if you yourself know the truth. I get this in the mail. I don't know about you, but I guess being a parsonage and a church, and we get these all kinds of different mailings and from all kinds of different ministries and churches. And some are very valid, but I have learned that I have to be discerning as I read these things, because not everything that comes across as a ministry that's got a cross and a Bible and a Christian name is proclaimers or are proclaimers of truth. And so as I read these things, it becomes very, very apparent very quickly where these folks are coming from and what is their basis of operation. The basis of our lives ought to be the truth. There is no money involved in that. There is just the truth of Jesus Christ and obeying His commands. You see, really, you know, Christianity is very simple in that way. We are changed by the truth. We are then to be proclaimers of the truth. And we cling to the truth for the rest of our lives. Notice here in verse 2, "For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us shall be with us," what's it say? "Forever." Doesn't it tell you a little bit about truth? Truth is eternal. It is not bound by the things of this world. It is not bound by human understanding and comprehension, but rather it is infinite. And so as you contemplate and think about what is truth, I encourage you to contemplate this letter and to meditate on these phrases, because the Apostle John says, "I love in the truth." How could he say that? How could he say he loves these people in the truth? It is because Jesus Christ is the uniter of all who have faith in Him. And what was one of His commands? Love. Love. "Whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth." Again, I love in the truth, and I can love because I have known the truth. I have experiential knowledge of it in my life. So not only is the truth something that unites us, but the truth is something that changes us. It is something that you and I experience in our lives. You, if you're a believer tonight, you have experienced the truth at work in your life. It has changed you. You were once a follower of this world. I was once dark and deep in sin. But the truth has changed me. I have experiential knowledge of the truth. So I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake. So I love you in the truth because I have experienced the truth, and because I love the truth, Jesus Christ, I love you because Jesus Christ has told me to love. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, that is the concept or the idea of remaining, or abiding within us. So again, the truth is something that not only it's changed us, and it's part of our lives that we've experienced, but it's something that lives in us. You realize you are a carrier of the truth? Did you know that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth? You carry the truth with you. Now notice, throughout this entire thing, nowhere does He say, "You are the truth." Okay, so don't get a big head saying, "I am the truth." No, you aren't the truth. I'm not the truth. But I tell you, we're changed by the truth. That truth lives within us. We carry it with us. I love because of the truth, and I serve because of the truth. Then he says, grace be with you. Well, first, I want you to take note. It dwells in us, and it shall be with us forever. Don't miss that fact, that this truth goes on and lives forever. There's no end to it. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And what's interesting here, and we'll talk about this more next time, is how he has covered the truth, and he spoke of the truth, and now he unites truth with love, and the commandment of Jesus Christ to love. Truth and love. Then he speaks of this. He makes this great declaration. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth. So truth is literally something that we are surrounded by and consumed with, something that should be coming out, and something that is to be going in. The truth is the absolute character and quality of God. You will find it declared in His Word, and it's embodied in His person, Jesus Christ. So, we've spoken about truth tonight. Are you one who lives by the truth? In our world today, we are bombarded, whether it's by media or friends, family, we're bombarded with all kinds of different viewpoints and thoughts. It is amazing to hear different Christians at different times will say different things that they believe, and I wonder where in the world they get these things and these thoughts. We are to be a people, a church, that is firmly rooted in the truth. The truth is firm. It will never change. It changed your life. It lives in you. You have experienced it, and it will live with you forever. You are not the truth. I am not the truth. The pastor on the TV is not the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. And it declares God's absolute person, character, and quality. Lord, I thank you. We've talked about truth. We talked about it from many different angles tonight. But I know, Lord, that in my heart you have confirmed again that I must not abandon the pursuit of understanding you. I must seek to know you, know the truth, and be a proclaimer of it. God, would you help us, all of us, to know, Lord, to know you, and to be proclaimers of your truth this week. In Jesus' name, amen.